Blog Talk Radio. Actually be a little special, but hopefully we're going to make it through with no issues and no problems. I think it's because my computer is trying to update itself, whatever. In any event, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Black Alice in Wonderland radio show with your host, Queen Amina. I am Queen Amina. Happy Monday, happy Moon Day. I hope everybody is doing so great and feeling so wonderful. I have to say, I'm feeling so much better. And I'm looking forward to this episode. I am looking forward to sharing as much as I can with the family on tonight because, as you know, oh, how we always have so much going on. Don't we always have a lot going on, y'all? So I'm going to give it a couple of more seconds to let people come on in, log on in, call in, whatever you need to do. Yeah, a lot going on. Just wanted to get some more folks up in here and I'll be able to get it popping for you. We have so much to share. It's amazing how fast 2 hours goes, honestly. People know it, it's time to say goodbye. I covered everything. So that you want to hear, go on. This happens to be episode 75. I'm like, woohoo, 75. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. And I'm proud. I'm excited. I continue to enjoy having this to bring to you on this forum. You know, exactly what we're doing here. Seriously, I'm not even joking. It is unfortunate that we're living more now than ever in a paradigm of lies and madness, deceit, you know. We watched the day, you know, the classic Malcolm X movie with Denzel, you know, done by Spike Lee. An amazing and awesome piece of work. And wildly enough, we don't, how do I put this? We're still in the same place. I'll just put it that way. We might even be worse because at that point, we had a lot of consciousness. And I thought that that was relatively fantastic that we had so much consciousness. And now, you know, we seem to be losing our consciousness. I don't know what's going on. I don't know who. I mean, I do know what's going on, but y'all get where I'm coming from. You know, when that movie came out, I think we had our head on our shoulders a little bit tighter. You know, you still had, you know, conscious hip hop. You still had positive contributions to the diaspora. Whereas now, I mean, I know y'all looked. I know you saw Megan Thee Stallion has daggone commercial for either Burger King or Taco Bell or somebody. And I'm like, God help me, please. She's in this bustier. Her breasts are coming out everywhere. And this is a regular conversation. Holiday? For Holiday?
No, 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 the new singer.
Oh, okay. Jennifer Hudson.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think
she's
what?
Talking to me.
The chicken commercial?
No, that's Megan Thee Stallion. They look very much alike. Yes.
Are you kidding
me? That is Megan Thee Stallion.
Wow.
Yes.
Sorry for the interruption.
It's okay, baby love. No, I dig it because a lot of people get them confused. They do resemble. They're beautiful chocolate women. They're beautiful women. And the craziness is that Jennifer Hudson, she got a good Popeyes commercial? Okay. I haven't seen that one. I just know Megan has something called, she has a product. Some type of french fry. It's not complimentary, though. I'm going to tell you that right now, okay? And it's just, it saddens me when I see these young people, you know, getting pimped out, you know, for nothing, for a handful of money, for nothing. You know, and I'm like, I always tell you guys, and I reiterate it on purpose because not enough emphasis, as we can see, is put upon your soul and the evolution of your soul. We all only have one soul. That soul is immutable, cannot be destroyed, wasn't really created. It just exists in omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent energy. That is really who we are. But we're in flesh, and that's okay. But we have to be responsible when we're in flesh, because we are aspects of the Creator having a human experience. And so we have to honor that. Okay, baby. And we're not honoring it. We're not honoring it. And I'm not talking about going to church. I'm not talking about going to the masjid and maintaining five pillars of faith or knowing your 10 commandments or your 42 laws of Ma'at, which are very handy and helpful and beautiful. But nobody can tell you to do something. Have somebody in a horrible accident or something, or, you know, have some type of horrible accident, whether in a car or on the street, and not try to help if the opportunity is there for you to do so. Excuse me. So, acknowledge that living up our, not just our potential, but through our progress. You know, and I didn't mean to take that tangent just now, but I just, you know, we'll talk, I will say what spirit needs me to say in that moment. And that is definitely something that's coming out. I'm trying to get back to what I can, but I want to go into what I plan to discuss this evening, because as we know, we've got a lot going on. Family and unfortunate passing of the late General Colin Powell, okay? It was very interesting because he, give me a minute. Yes, he was suffering from health complications with his myeloma and what have you, which is a type of cancer. Yes, we understand that. However, Booba went and got the tenderoni. And he's dead. And so when the family was not reluctant, okay, they were not reluctant to divulge how and what happened to a certain extent, okay? I'm going to go back. This is from the family's page. General Colin L. Powell, former U.S. Secretary of State and Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, passed away this morning due to complications from COVID-19. He was fully vaccinated. We want to thank the medical staff of Walter Reed National Medical Center for their caring treatment. We have lost a remarkable and loving husband, father, grandfather, and a great American, the Powell family. Now, you got to realize when you look at stuff, Mama always taught me how to read between the lines, okay? You look at what you see, but then you also try to find more. You're looking for the intent. By them stating clearly that he passed away that morning, which was last Monday, from COVID-19, and he was fully vaccinated? Hello. That's the problem. Okay? How is it that the general is fully vaccinated, and yet you're dying from complications from COVID-19? So my thing is it COVID-19 or was it the jab? Because he wasn't suffering from any myeloma issues. He really wasn't. He was doing pretty good. And he was just seen a couple of weeks before just feeling wonderful and looking pretty decent. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't emaciated. His face wasn't drawn. He didn't look sallow or like there was something really, really wrong with him. So, okay. And remember, I covered this when our beloved DMX, Earl Simmons, Ibaye, passed away as well, because he had just had it. He had just had the tenderoni and then pop, gone. All right? So that's a bit much. They're still doing this Frankenstein mandate of this jab, which is really, really deadly. I did say that I was going to have a VAERS report for you. If you're able to look at this program right now, if you're online and you're looking at the show, please participate in the slideshow. Okay, I do have some new slides up. And the last slides that you see, where you see all the blue and all these splotches and blotches and what have you, those are actually pictures of red blood cells. So the first picture where they look all happy-go-lucky, those are healthy and normal red and white blood cells, meaning that those are unvaccinated, unjabbed patients. The blood in that individual is beautiful, clear, clean, no problems, no coagulation. All the red blood cells are doing their thing. The white blood cells are normal, healthy. Everyone's doing fine. The next slide that you see after that, you could tell they look a little cloudy. They look funny. They look like there's something wrong, because there is. Those are the cells of a person who has received a tenderoni. Okay? And so as you go through the rest of the slides, the progression gets worse. The next slide I believe I had up was the one of the is a big glob. There's a couple of them that have big globs. The globs, according to a physician, are the presence of metals and graphite in the blood. And of course, the very last slide, which looks crazy to me because it looks like the head of a dragon or a dog or something, that is like way over full-blown, distorted blood, distorted red blood cells, distorted white blood cells, just shot out and done for. That patient will probably expire soon. No offense, I'm not trying to sound cold, but your blood can't move in your body that way, all right? Just like we know, if a person has sickle cell anemia, what happens is the red blood cell, which is almost like a lifesaver candy without the hole. There's a bit of a concave, but it's not a complete hole. That's what red blood cells look like. There was a candy that used to be just like it too, and I can't remember what it is right now. But what happens is your blood cells basically take the shape of a sickle, okay? They're not round and healthy, and without that space in the middle, which is like a membrane, being healthy, then when the blood is going through the system in the body, it hurts. It hurts. The patient is in pain. Sickle cell anemia sufferers, God bless all of you, have immense and intense pain just by their blood circulating through their body when they have an episode. Okay? So if that's what happens to sickle cell anemia patients, and again, most sickle cell anemia patients don't really live that long unless they're able to get that condition under control, under serious control. Okay? So by looking at these particular slides and seeing how I'm trying to get my words right because I don't want to sound crazy, how the serum inside of the tenderoni affects the blood, it just takes over. And that's why you're seeing what you're seeing with these cloudy globs, globulated, overly coagulated, just stuck together, not moving freely, not being individual to be able to move through the bloodstream just with ease and grace. No, it's a mess in there. It's a mess in there, and so I don't ever mean to sound nasty or cold or, like I'm uncaring or anything like that. That is far from the truth, and any of you who really know me really would need, you know that. You know I'm not that type of individual. I'm about the truth, and I need to make sure that we all have it and we're all getting to the bottom of it. So, again, I'm going to warn you, family, if you haven't gotten it, wait. Don't do it yet, okay? For something that is 99.5% survivable, okay, there is no reason for them to even have implemented a tenderoni shot. But this is about money, global control, and population control. And I think that that's the issue people have. Like, even my closest friends, like, some of them are, you know, just want to put their hands over their ears and just, I don't want to talk about it. I'm like, how old are you? We're not 20. We're not even 15. We're nothing young where we're like, well, I don't really know, I understand. We're old. We got college degrees. Some of us are masters and PhDs. How is it that you're not thinking? How is it that you just trust an entity that's been gunning for you since you opened your eyes? It's enigmatic to me. I mean, lower my voice. I'm not trying to yell and be hostile. I'm not hostile. But, ooh, I don't get it. I don't get that part. That frightens me. Even physicians, and you got a lot of dead doctors and a lot of dead nurses that were on the front line and ran to get this because they were told, you're a frontline worker, you have to get that. I'm like, when I look at certain terminologies and stuff, and like I told you, when I watched Bill and Melinda Gates when they were still married before divorce proceedings or whatever, and they were on television together talking about how, yes, we have to make sure that the African-American community gets it first, and we have to make sure we go into Africa and make sure that the Africans get it first. Really? Here I go in my real hood voice. Why come? All of a sudden, then I keep reiterating this, and I'm going to keep reiterating it. All of a sudden, you care. You care now. You don't really care, but all of a sudden you care. All of a sudden you really, really, really care about black folk. That's kind of comedic to me because you don't care. What you care about is money. What you care about is population control and making sure you get rid of as many black people as you can first. Now, y'all can say the devil is a liar if you want to, and that's cool, but these devils, baby, they doing it. So I got to tell you, all right, they're doing the mayhem that they said they were going to do, honey. It's happening. It's popping off, okay? So we have to pay attention, and that's why I always talk about frequency and making sure that you keep yourself, on a high frequency and that you're feeling good and you're emanating love and joy and peace to the world. You know, you're walking in your truth and you're walking in love and light. You're being kind to strangers. All this stuff is wonderful, beautiful karmic retribution that you can, you know, collect later. But if you are nasty and selfish and, you know, just to yourself and it's all about you and, you know, you don't care about anybody else and all that, honey, that is not, that. No, we're not moving in that direction. Okay. I have been reiterating time and time again that we are in the beginning certifiably of the age of Aquarius. That age does not have anything to do with separation, disunity, disunification, and what happened. No. The age of Aquarius has everything to do with coming together, loving thy neighbor as thyself, taking care of each other, my brother's keeper, my sister's keeper, in a good way, not in no nasty way. And what they're trying to do is, they got a lot of stuff on the books right now, y'all. They got way too much on the books. They're slightly behind schedule, actually. They're actually behind by about 3 years, but who knows? They might be catching up onto themselves because, you know, this is their game. This is their plan. This is what they've been running. And that's why I said all we have to do is resist. Resist. It doesn't mean that you got to get evil and wicked and crazy. It just means don't do it. You're just resisting. And you have the right to do that. I don't care what anybody has to say. We do. I don't care where you live. I don't care. Last time I checked, this is not a communist nation. Although, the way they're behaving is just incomparable to me. And the funny thing about it, and I'm not talking funny, haha. The funny thing about it is that the Democrats are the ones who are steering this demonic agenda. Okay, the Republicans might be trying to take your right to vote away. They've always been trying to do that. Hello, good morning. But the Democrats fit and want to kill everybody. How about that? The Democrats are very heavy on board with the tenderoni. Y'all want to look at the Republicans and some of the governors like DeSantis and Rick Scott, also the senator in Florida, Ted Cruz in Texas. There are a few, even Wisconsin, you know, you've got a few that are like, nah, I'm not with this game because I know what this means and I know this isn't good. They know it. Now, I'm not, at this point, I'm not Democrat or Republican because I'm just not participating in any more of these reindeer games with these crazy fools, okay? These people are out of their mind, okay? And y'all think that we made some type of gigantic, fantastic leap when we went from Fecal Matter 45 to Sleepy Creepy Joe. We really didn't make much of a leap. And Joe is so lost in the sauce, he probably doesn't even know how many fake shots he's had. The man is lost in the sauce. Did you see him in the press conference looking like Will Ferrell from Talladega Nights? I was like, what are you doing? Sit down and unclench your fists. What is wrong with you? Are you having a bowel movement? What do you do? Like a baby, you know when a baby has a bowel movement, they stand there like, That's what he looked like. Speaking to Anderson Cooper. Hello? What's going on? What is that? You look crazy. Then, I think it was, yes, last week, he gave a salute to the teachers, talking to the teachers. Oh, the teachers this, the teachers that. Then he goes off on these wild tangents that have nothing to do with the topic or subject. And you're like, what? And it's sentence after sentence of blabber. Now the news has gotten smart, especially the MSNBC. They'll cut him off. They'll be like, okay, that was a press conference from our President Joe Biden. Cut him off. Boo Boo is just like, well, yeah, because I wanted popcorn and then it was raining. And woo! He sounds crazy. Mind you, he has had several brain surgeries. They have actually removed chunks of his brain. Yes, it did happen. I'm not joking. It's real. So maybe this is cause for the synapse misfire or, you know, the fact that maybe his neural net is entangled and subject matter that has nothing to do with other subject matter is just connected to its own net, and he's just coming from the net. Honey, I have worked with geriatric patients before. I have worked with people who have Alzheimer's and who have, you know, that's terrible. See, I sound like them now. Alzheimer's and dementia, okay? And they'll talk like that. They'll talk in circles. And he has been doing this quite frequently. Okay? They gave a big address with all of them outside. They were actually outside on the mall by the looking glass pool and what have you. What was it for? Give me a minute, because it's always something, some popping circumstance. I'm just not down. I'm sorry if I sound rude. I'm not trying to sound rude. Give me a minute. But it was something black, actually. It really was, because Kamala Harris was speaking, and she's crazy too, but it's ill, because after the president speaks, she commends him like a child, like, oh, you did a good job, oh, that was good. Like, no, don't do that to a president. Ain't nobody do that to Obama. And I wasn't all 195% in with his agendas either, but for God's sake, at least he spoke eloquently and had sentences that made sense. Okay, the paragraph of which the speech was coming from was relevant, cohesive, and made sense. This one here, you could put him in front of a teleprompter. He might read like three sentences, and then baby's going to go laugh, honey. So I'm like, Plus, he's real creepy. And if y'all don't understand the prevalence of pederasty and pedophilia in our government and in Hollywood, you got another thing coming. Okay? You got another thing coming. Now, what was also kind of interesting is that, you know how your boy always wants to pop junk at other people who supposedly were pedophiles of a sort. Apparently, an article had come out. I thought I had copied it, but I guess I did not. Anyway, but it was about T. Raposaurus Rex, a.k.a. The Don, and talked about how he wanted to throw shade on Bill Clinton for going to Jeffrey Epstein's Pedo Island 27 times, he himself had many, many encounters with underage youth, male and female, according to this article, as well as his nasty statement about his daughter, his own daughter. Now, in his cousin Mary Trump's book, Too Much and Never Enough, she talks about how she walked in on him performing sexual acts on his daughter. Uh-huh. Okay, we covered this last year, I want to say, but we covered this. So these people want to throw shade, and I'm like, ooh, and it reminds me of the Bible when they say, okay, yet he who is amongst you, who is without sin, cast the first stone. Trump wants to throw stones. Boo-boo, you're throwing them at yourself. Plus, he always knew you were kind of creepy anyway. Any person who tells any other person in an interview with that, okay, to just grab him by the coochie, and I'm being nice with the coochie because he used the B word, but we ain't going to go there right now. Something's wrong with you. And because he's a narcissist, he is a certifiable narcissist. He cannot help it. It happened by the time he was probably 9 to 11 years old because he was just overshadowed in the family. Then they put him away to school. Then nobody wanted to deal with him. His mother didn't want to deal with him. She probably didn't even breastfeed the boy. Like, he's got a lot of problems. So fast forward, and, you know, here we are. And this whole thing with Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein, even though Epstein's dead, Ghislaine's still in prison where she needs to rot, okay? I wouldn't, someone like that, man, I don't believe in the death penalty because I believe that the suffering is enough time, and I believe that you know, it gives the individual time to really mull it over and be with God and be like, oh, I really messed up, and, you know, make atonement or whatever they need to do. Sometimes I feel like when they implement the death penalty, first of all, it's not our place to take someone else's life. The only way I'll take somebody's life is if you're trying to take mine. Then we have a problem. But for me to just go all out my way to want to hurt somebody, no. That's not my vibe. I'm not into that. I'm into protection, okay? So protect themselves. So I'm saying this to say, when our leaders, quote unquote, because ain't nobody leading me nowhere, when our leaders have proven themselves to be of subpar behavior, when they've proven themselves to be almost beastly, when they've proven themselves to be predatory, okay? Because Sleepy Joe be touching and kissing on everybody and carrying on all the time. And if you ever see him, y'all need to Google some of this stuff, or maybe DuckDuckGo it. You know, it's on the gram, and it's on YouTube. It's on different things. People have put together different compilations of him just, like, rubbing all over children's faces. Not just that. One of them, I don't know who this child was. Some poor little girl. God bless her. She probably wanted to go and just rip her skin off afterwards. But they're in a press conference at the White House, a photo op, actually, probably post-press conference. And the girl is placed right in front of him. She's a small child. So her head, the back of her head is up against his penis, okay? And he's just rubbing her face and her neck and her face and her neck and her ears. And it's very uncomfortable to look at. Seriously, this is not behavior indicative, not just of a president, but of any sane man. So I got issues with it. I really do. And I'm like, ain't nobody paying attention. Come on. So before you carry on and want to throw stones at everybody else, don't forget to put Sleepy Joe inside of your equation, okay? Just put him in there. I'm sorry. And not for nothing. You know, his son is a mess. His son is a pedophile. His son loves to get high and have sex with children. That was found on the FBI tapes that were on his laptop. Excuse me. When Boo Boo, I talked about this before, but he was real, real high, took his laptop to a computer place to be fixed or whatever, and left it there. And when they went into the files, they were able to see pictures and things of him naked as the day he was born, facing children. And the one that he's able to catch is the one that, you know, either has to perform fellatio on him or he will copulate with. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's Hunter Biden. Maybe that's why his name is Hunter. Anyway, they're all in the same boat. I keep trying to stress this. They're all in the same lot. And I don't care if you got Democrat, you got Republican. I said this before. They are two broken wings on the same retarded, demented, and demonic bird. So we've got to do something else because it's no longer, it doesn't work for us to be a part of any of these two quote-unquote parties. It ain't never been a party for us. Have we ever had a really good time? Not really. So I say we, you know, we really branch off and do some other things, and I'm going to get into that a little bit later as well when I begin to talk about the Ethiopian World Federation. But I'm so serious because we having issues, y'all. We got some troubles. All right? Now, moving forward, I touched this in the last episode, but it's still popping. So here we go. Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle and Netflix are doing the tango, having a very interesting tryst because apparently his last special, The Closer, which is really awesome, is getting a lot of flack from the LGBTQIA, so on and so forth, community. And now you have employees at Netflix talking about, we're going to walk off the job, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. I mean, it's, to me, it's the most insane thing I have heard ever. Meanwhile, Netflix was like, we are not canceling him, so y'all going to be all right, but we're going to keep airing this because this is our client, we work with him, his show is on our network, and we're showing it, period, point blank, the end. And as I said before, it doesn't seem out of the ordinary compared to everything else that we're seeing. Netflix is like doom, gloom, and death network as far as I'm concerned. I'm trying to remember. Ooh, let me take a deep breath before I talk about this one. Any of you out there who watched The Squid Game, I think that's what it's called, with the Asian people, and they got jumpsuits on, and the participants have on, I think, blue tracksuits of some kind, but the people that are doing the work or whatever, they have red jumpsuits on with like a beehive face with either an X, an O, or a square on it. Or a triangle, a circle, or I think a square. Illmatic. This show was a bit much. And then we found out that real people in the real world were attempting to play such a game. This is a very deadly thing, okay? It's not like your regular average show or game show or anything like that. They're playing for their lives. They're dying. They're getting shot up, blown away, heads cut off. I mean, honey, it's disgusting. It's very gross, actually. Okay, and this is where we are right now. So I'm saying, if Netflix has programs like that on it, you've got, I think, The Mirror, which I heard is really good. I got to check that out. You have series upon series of crazy demonicness with blood letting and what have you. It's all over the place. So we want to get excited about a Dave Chappelle comic show. We want to get upset about a stand-up. Are you serious right now? Are we really serious? And I said it before, and I'm going to say it again, and y'all trolls better not come for me. But this is the world. Welcome to Earth. From the origins of comedy, back over 1,000 years probably. Anyone can be talked about. To this day, it's even more profound. Anyone can be talked about. World leaders, kings, queens, freaking Queen Elizabeth and her crazy lizard behind. Like, hello? Everybody can be picked on. Everybody can be talked about. So don't act like you can't, especially with a comedian. And I've heard other comedians come out in support of Dave, like, yeah, he's still trying to make sure that he holds, you know, the holds the line, that we can speak freely and say what we want to say. If you don't like it, oh, well, don't watch it. Turn the channel. For God's sake, this is TV. It's not even like you're in a movie theater and you pay $13 to go see it in the movie theater. No, it's Netflix. It's in your membership. Change the channel. Hello? Why is it that we're so upset? So I recently saw something that had stated that, this is funny, an African-American transgender individual, I think she's lesbian, not transgender, excuse me, was fired from Netflix. And apparently she had tried, she tried to put out a statement that Netflix was being racist and messing with her, la, 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 okay? No, it turns out that this fool was upset with Dave Chappelle, again, Black on Black Crime, and released his financial information to the public. That is why Boo Boo lost the gig, okay? She wasn't fired, she wasn't fired because of anything else, because you had a lot of other people who were like, we want to walk off, we're protesting, we're this, we're that, whatever. But they were just protesting. They didn't go into accounts payable and bring up his account and then show the ledgers to the world. So that's why she gone. So calm down with all of that, too, because it's not like Netflix fired the black girl because she was black. No, Netflix fired the black lesbian because she did something illegal, and she broke statute. Hello? You're not allowed to just put out your client's financial information just because you got an attitude. So that's kind of heavy. And then the press had put out that the employees, which is interesting to me, wanted to meet with him and that he declined. He came out just, I think, today and said, no, I did not decline to speak with them. He was like, however, which if you do want to speak, then speak to me. I don't know what we're actually going to be talking about, but speak to me, and you're going to speak to me at my location, on my terms, at my time. And I had no problem in co-signing that with him. I said, go ahead, Dave. So he states that basically, and I'm sure some of us can really, you know, wrap our heads around this because we know how the machine works. It's really just about money. It's about propaganda and money. And it's also about the power of a black man who's a millionaire and everybody knows it. And he's unafraid, unabashed, unafraid. Not just in terms of LGBTQIA conversation. That ain't got nothing to do with it. Just overall, period, point blank, the end. He's not afraid. Everybody wanted to carry on. When he was on Oprah those years ago, after he came back from Africa, and, you know, she just wanted to just admit that he was straight crazy. And he wasn't crazy at all. Hello, good morning. You know, and that's what happens to us. You know, y'all, you get on our nerves and we just leave and go to Africa. We blend in and chill out for a long time. Mind you, everybody wants to talk about, you know, Dave stood up for not wearing a dress, not wearing a dress, not wearing a dress. I hate to bust your bubble, but he has worn a dress before. The one time I saw Dave Chappelle in a dress was when he was in the movie Men in Tights, which was a parody on Robin Hood, okay? Instead of his name being Akeem, or was it supposed to be Akeem, something like that, his name was Achu, like a sneeze. It was a complete parody on Robin Hood. And so he played a Muslim character, and his name was Achu. And there was a scene when they had to go, and I think Robin was going to do the archery contest or whatever, and all of them that were with Robin Hood and his, you know, gang of thieves or whatever, they all had on dresses. That's the one time I saw Dave Chappelle in a dress. Okay, it was a long time ago. In the beginning of his career, he was still skinny as skinny could be. He had been working out. Like I said, he didn't disappear and go to Africa yet and all that. But that was the one time he did wear a dress. And I guess after that, he was like, I'm never wearing a dress again. And so far, he stood by that. And he has every right to. Because, again, when they keep pushing black men in dresses and they keep pushing homosexuality onto black men like this little Nas X person and what have you, who recently came out also said, and him tied to the gay thing. Like, he's not really gay. They just did that. Like, he just sold himself to the devil so he can get millions of dollars. He's not even really gay. All that about him being pregnant and all that, stop playing with me. Because Photoshop is a mug. We know this. Okay? And you can put a pillow under an outfit for a baby bump. Or you could wear a prosthetic stomach. Hello, do it in the movies all the time. So the fact that this poor boy who does not have a piece of knowledge of self, which is the only reason why this kind of crap can happen, you know, they put him up. They put him up, and he allows himself to be put up, okay, kissing men at the end of the BET Awards performance, you know, being in a video with gay men in jumpsuits in a prison scene, and then they flash to the shower, and everyone's naked in the shower. What? Like, oh, no. God bless me. I'm so glad I don't have children. I always wanted to have, like, 4 kids, but let me tell you something. I'm glad I don't have any children right now. I always make this joke. My children would hate me because they would not be able to participate in any of the reindeer games. They wouldn't even have television. They'd be upset with me. They'd go to their friend's house and be like, they have a thing called television and they've got a lot of channels. My children would be like, they wouldn't, mm-mm. They would be surrounded by books and tactile things and being creative and inventing and being physical and being healthy and strong and eating well. Child, please. I'd have some superhero babies, okay? Yes, I would. So, I'm looking at everything and all the attacks. You know, I'm just saying, I just see attacks. That's what I see. And the way the propaganda is going, even with regard to Tenderoni, it's still wrong. It's still wrong. And when I say wrong, I'm talking about wrong. So let's go into, let me take a moment and go into the Veyers report. I think I'm finished with the Dave Chappelle thing. I may come back to that later because it's still very, very compelling to me. But you know, the vaccine adverse event reporting system, that's Veyers, V-A-E-R-S, okay? And through this October, through October 8th of 2021, I'm trying to be as recent as I can, we have well over a million reports of adverse reactions to the Tenderoni, over a million. Now, in any other normal circumstance for any other jab or medication or anything, if you had this many issues, they would have pulled it. But because we're in a depopulation agenda, they're not going to pull it. They're going to keep doing this and see just how many people they can get. That is quite obvious. Okay? So, and Veyers is off. Their count system, their system is off by at least 15% to 25%. Because as I mentioned in my last episode, to fill out the report for an adverse reaction or a death as a cause of, you know, which the cause was the Tenderoni shot, the report is long. It takes some time to fill out. It's extensive. Not just that, but a lot of physicians and nurses have stated that upon trying to enter such information into the system, they're getting it kicked back. So how many times do you think you're going to stand there and try and input data into a system that keeps kicking it back to you when you have work to do? How many times? Think about that real quick. Some of them, maybe after the first time they're going to be like, I can't, I'm not going to do this again. I don't have time. I got something. I have other things to do. I have patience to see. Some may go the extra distance and do it twice. And if it gets kicked back again, they may not try a third time. Do you get where I'm coming from? So I'm going to give you the numbers that VAERS has, but I also want you to realize that we got to pump this up a little bit. So if there have been, if VAERS has 16,766 deaths, that means that we're talking about 75 to 100,000 deaths. Okay, 124,398 doctor's visits. Probably higher, as I say. Each one of these numbers I'm giving you is going to be exponentially higher. So just stay with me. 79,669 hospitalizations. So you could probably bump that up to about 100,000, 150,000. It's probably more than that. Anyway, 7,336 people have suffered anaphylaxis. Now, they should probably be included in the dead people because if they suffered true anaphylaxis, then they died. For the general public that doesn't know what anaphylaxis means, it means that you have an allergic reaction where your lungs get flooded with fluid possibly, your eyes get swollen, your tongue begins to swell, you cannot breathe, and you die. That is what is called an anaphylactic reaction. And you need an epinephrine pen in order to stop anaphylaxis from going all the way and killing you. Okay? So I always do tell people if you're kind of allergic to a lot of stuff, you need an EpiPen. Okay? You should get a prescription for an EpiPen. And an EpiPen saved my life, praise the Lord. So think about that as I keep moving. All right, 89,923 people were in urgent care. That's definitely going to be a much higher number, okay, maybe 120,000. Bell's palsy, 9,787. Bump that up to about 15,000. This one is scary. Miscarriages. Again, I kept telling y'all, don't take this anyway, but God forbid if you're pregnant or thinking about getting pregnant, don't take it. What happened? Some of y'all went out and took it, and you're pregnant. What is wrong with you? In any event, 2,508. So that probably would be doubled at this point because of the numbers being off by such a high percentage. So a lot of they're off, and they even tell you that. You know, VAERS is off. They're off by 15 to 25%. That's a lot of people. Moving forward, heart attack, 8,136. That's doubtful. I'm taking that to 15,000. Low blood platelets, 3,427. So that's probably about 7,000. 18,239 life-threatening adverse. So you don't have 27,000. Myocarditis and pericarditis. Myocarditis, like I told you before, is the swelling of the heart. So they've got 9,470. That's probably about 15,000 people. Severe allergic reaction, 31,196. So that's probably about 35,000 to 37,000. Permanently disabled, 24,805. So that is probably about 30,000 or more and counting. Shingles. Yes, people have gotten shingles from the tenderoni shot. Over 9,000 people. 9,472. So I would take that to about 15,000. Okay? These are the reports. It's supposed to be 798,634 reports. So you could probably take that all the way up to 100,000. This is scary, y'all. This is what's happening. And they're lying. They're lying every day. They're lying like bad toupees, baby. They're lying. Now, there's a very beautiful interview, really good interview on Instagram with Maria Z. And she had Dr. Tess Lowry, who is an external health organization consultant, and she also works for the World Organization of Health. Yes, they're two different agencies. And she was just, this doctor was clear and plain, and she was just saying, like, there's efficacy problems with the Tenderoni shot. Your own immune system is always going to be stronger than any other type of agent that is introduced to the body. It's this particular quote-unquote vaccine, which is not a vaccine at all. It is a shot, but it's not a vaccine. Is very different than all the others that we've ever had. Varies drastically from the MMR and DPTs and all those other vaccines that we had to have as children. It's very, very different, okay? And she was just saying, you know, drink a lot of water. And I loved listening to her. You know, she's originally from South Africa, but she lives in London now. And she's just like, you know, you drink lots of water and you make sure you have lots of vitamin C. You know, she's like, it's really not that, you know, it's not rocket science because it's 99.5% survivable. She's like, there was no reason for them to make something in the first place. Are you feeling me? She was breaking it down very nicely, real cool. She didn't get excited. Okay. So, she was the external consultant of the World Health Organization. She was like, no, this is something, the reason why we're having problems we're having is because it's tested. She said that quite clearly. She's like, it hasn't been tested long enough. You need to know. And I mentioned this in the last show. I spoke about how you had all these whistleblowers. Baby, we had so many whistleblowers, we could have had a daggone orchestra, okay, of whistleblowers. Throwing a kazoo or two if you want to. I mean, you had whistleblowers from Pfizer, Moderna, and AstraZeneca on camera, undercover, just talking about how wrong it is, how bad it is. You know, you had one employee who worked for Moderna, he took the Pfizer shot because he was like, I don't even want the Moderna one because I don't think it's right. And he worked for Moderna. Hi. You had another white executive for Pfizer, and he was like, I wouldn't dare give this to my child. What would the point be? It's really not that necessary if you're a healthy person and you don't have comorbidities. Okay. So the latest whistleblower interview was on, I think it was on Veritas. And it's a young girl, young white girl, who's worked for Pfizer for over 10 years. She went in because she became very disturbed at what they were doing at Pfizer, what they were putting into their particular jab at Pfizer, how they were lying to the FDA, taping up windows, covering up lab windows and what have you. Meanwhile, Pfizer supposedly prides itself on being transparent and clear and honest and making sure everybody knows what's going on and, you know, that the clients as well as the employees are very clear about their products and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's like, and they're actually, like, of course, using, let me get this right, because you're going to be like, what? Let me get it right. They're using aborted fetal tissue, but they have an actual code for it. There's letter codes for it. And so I forgot, something K meant that it was aborted male fetuses' kidney cells that they were putting inside of the jabs. Now, I reported on this months ago, but it was, you know, a confirmation yet disconcerting at the same time to hear that I was correct in what I had stated months ago about there being aborted fetal tissue inside of these things, along with nanoparticles and nanosites and things where people are becoming magnetic. I talked about this. People sticking stuff to themselves. People are definitely experiencing seizure. I don't know, that wasn't really primary in the Veyer's report, but what I'm seeing is everything from Guillain-Barre syndrome, which starts with, like, light tingling in the feet, but it leads to, like, full paralysis. a lot of young girls have contracted this particular syndrome as a result of the HPV vaccine, okay, here and all over international waters and countries, okay, these children are paralyzed. Some of them paraplegic, some of them quadriplegic, okay, as a result of getting these particular jabs. So this is also an adverse reaction to this particular jab. And it's intense because I don't think I'd be able to live with myself well if I forced something like that upon my child and they became debilitatingly ill, I would be so upset. I'd be so distraught with myself. So these crazy people signing up their children for trials, knowing that 86% of the children had adverse reactions to the tenderoni. 86%. In normal times and normal circumstances in a sane world, if you had even 10% of your study group and 10% developed adverse reactions, palsies, paralysis, swollen heart, swollen tongue, they would have taken it off the shelf immediately. They would have taken it off the shelf. And again, when this first rolled out, the fact that they put out that you could not hold any one company liable, that no one could be legally responsible for jacking up your life with their product that they shot into your body. Y'all heard what I said, right? That, to me, was a clincher. Okay, because as time went on and y'all wanted to do all the song and dance and sing in the rain to get everybody to get the jab. But the fact that you came out with the disclaimer, popping it, talking about Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson, none of whom will be responsible for any adverse reactions that may incur as a result of the tenderoni shot. Really? Can we say heinous, criminal, demonic, disgusting, and crazy? Can we just, hello? That had me flabbergasted. Now, I know that in the late 1980s, they put this plan together to make it very difficult for any individual to sue a pharmaceutical company as a result of damages that they experienced as a result of this particular medication. However, and they changed it so you couldn't sue them directly. You have to go through the specific department within the government, and then you have to try to state your case. But people would still do that, and people could still win. This is not that. This is something else. This is some whole otherness. So not only are you not holding yourself responsible, meanwhile, aren't we all supposed to be responsible? Aren't we supposed to be responsible? If I go and get in the car and I'm drunk as God knows what and I go driving and I get caught by a police officer and I can't do anything. I can't walk the line, touch my nose, count backwards, whatever. I can't do any of that. And I get into trouble. Am I not responsible for that? Because I did that, right? Now, let's flip it. If I am at a party or I'm on a date and my date or my friend puts something in my drink, and I know that they put something in my drink, and now I'm wilding out. Who's responsible? They are, because they're the ones that put it in my drink. I'm going to go further. We just had a salmonella recall on white onions. I don't particularly remember which company it was that put them out, but here in PA, there was an onion recall. Why? Because the onion company was what? Responsible. This is just for damn onions. But they wanted to be responsible and let people know, don't buy these onions because they could make you sick. We're going to hold off for a minute. We're going to recall. Throw them in the garbage. Right? This was onions for salmonella. But we can't hold responsible any of the major four pharmaceutical big pharma companies and people getting, like I said, heart swelling, tongue swelling, testicle swelling, Guillain-Barre syndrome with paralysis, Bell's palsy, faces falling, a host of shingles even. I've even heard reports of HIV. People are having immunodeficiency disorders because the spike proteins are attacking their white blood cells and wiping them out. You responsible. People can't go to work. People can't dress themselves. I have seen countless videos of people who are now bedridden, just shaking in the bed all day, all night, shaking, crying, shaking, shaking, more crying. I've seen some in the hospital shaking uncontrollably. They have to have feeding tubes and things. They can't eat on their own. There was another woman who, you know, she's paralyzed now. Her husband has to do everything for her. She can't even button her shirt. She can't go to the bathroom by herself. She can't eat. Okay? And these are supposed to be the lucky ones because they survive, because other people drop dead. Some people drop dead within minutes. Some people drop dead in a couple of hours. But in each situation, the family members could always tell what happened. Like the story I mentioned a while ago of the young Latina family and their grandmother had taken it and they were visiting with her and she didn't look good. Like all of her color was gone and she was pasty. Like her skin was pasty and flush. But she didn't look good and she said she had a headache so she wanted to go home and lie down and she went home and died. Never woke up. Her brain hemorrhaged. Okay? So, these are the things that we're going through. These are the things we're dealing with. That's what you got to keep your head on a swivel, baby. Because they'll have you confused and just, you know, all in disarray and dismay and not knowing what to do with yourself. I'm say it over and over again. Continue to eat right. Eat your fruits and vegetables. Think positively. Meditate. Get all the rest that you need. If you don't have a specific schedule and you're tired when you wake up, keep getting your rest so that you can rejuvenate yourself. As I said, we're moving into a different envelope of energy and time. Okay, we're moving from the third to the fifth dimension. Some of us will require more rest because it's a big leap. Okay, some of us are getting downloads. I got a lot of downloads this morning. I didn't sleep that well last night, but this morning I managed to try to get it in, and I got some serious downloads. I was like, all right. And a lot of which is just, you know, like, I'm fine, and everything is going to be all right as long as I say so. And that's how everybody needs to be in their own world. Like, I'm going to be all right because I say so. I speak the word. The word is what? I am the word. The word was made flesh. Hello? So what I say is what it's going to be. And like I tell my clients, what you say is what it's going to be. So if I have clients, I do have some clients that are going through a whole lot right now. And I feel, you know, I have a lot of empathy for them. At the same time, I'm trying to get them to realize that they're in control of their reality. And they have to reshape it. And I've given them certain brain exercises to do so that they can recalibrate and get on another trajectory. It's important. Your mind controls everything. Like I said, I remember back in the day when I was going through a lot of stress. Ooh, Lord, I was going through a lot of stress. I've had different moments of, like, severe, want to take you out, want to make you kill yourself type stress. I have in my life. And no matter what, obviously I didn't take my life high. I didn't even try. But I'm saying that in those moments, I had to trick myself. I had to tell myself, you're fine. Everything is all right. Everything is divine. Your ancestors are with you. Your parents are with you. Like, you're strong. You're better off than you think you are. Everything is beautiful. The new day is coming, honey. Embrace it. Don't stop. Don't wallow. Don't have a pity party. Keep moving. Keep pushing. Glory is coming. You know how they say joy comes in the morning? You got to keep moving. Okay? I always tell them, like, close your eyes and imagine yourself walking down the street and you're walking next to a huge building. The corner may be another 20 feet in front of you. If you stop and stay where you are and just sit and wallow in your pain, in your confusion, discomfort, or your sickness, or whatever your ailment is, or whatever is wrong at the time, if you just sit there and stay there, you will never know the glory was around the corner because you stopped. You must keep moving. You must keep moving forward and upward, forward and upward. You must keep moving. And as soon as you hit the corner, it's like, oh, light is shining. It's all beautiful. The sun is basking all over you and there's love everywhere. And you're like, wow, this is great. So happy I kept moving. If I stayed where I was, I would have never seen this. And that is something that we all get caught in. Got to keep it moving, baby. Got to keep it moving. So, right about now, and I don't know where Doc is. I need him to tell me where he is. I'm going to text him because I need to know where he at. Okay. While I am mentioning Dr. Winborn, I want to thank him. He, you know, he is the president, the illustrious international president of the Ethiopian World Federation. And I personally want to thank him, as well as the Federation locals and all members of the Federation, for having me as their special guest on their weekly Zoom conference last week. Every fourth Saturday, they do an informational presentation to the family, and I was the guest this week, and it was really comedic because I spoke to Doc on Friday night, I believe. Yeah, Friday night, and I mean night, like 8 o'clock, like around this time. And I said, okay, well, I'm good to go for tomorrow. You know, I guess it's just a blog talk. I thought on a particular network, Blog Talk Radio, and he was like, no, honey, it's a Zoom conference. And I was like, oh. And he was like, yeah, we had some really great guests on last month, and they gave us a PowerPoint presentation. And I was like, a PowerPoint? I said, dag nabbit. So I am no slouch, ladies and gentlemen. And I was like, you know I could probably just do a Zoom and just hit it. But I was like, no, I can do a PowerPoint presentation? Let me tell you, mother was up to 1:30 in the mañana, in the morning, putting together the PowerPoint presentation because I really wanted it to be fire. And I knew that my audience was a very conscious, very elevated, very sophisticated audience. I knew that. And so I was like, ooh, I got to make this happen. I said, and not just that, but it's on Zoom, so you got to see me too. I got to look right. Lord, what am I going to wear? I was like, okay, I got to have an outfit. I have to be face a little bit. I was like, okay, because it's not like right now. Right now, I'm on a Blog Talk, so I can just be sitting here. You know, you don't see me. You know, I give you a little slideshow, but it's not a PowerPoint. You know what I mean? So I said, okay. My mother's voice hit me hard. My ancestors was like, you know what you have to do. And I was like, yeah, can I do a PowerPoint? And I was a little rusty because I haven't done a PowerPoint in a minute, but I was, you know, God is good all the time. You know, the Creator's Creator is magnificent, and I took a deep breath. I had a glass of lime water with ice, and I just leaned back, and I was like, okay, how do I kick it off? And I was like, okay, I always know what to start with. I go back to my ancient history, and I start with that. And the name of the presentation was how our perception shapes our perspective. And so I went into that, and of course I ended on tenderoni and, you know, the cocoa and what have you, because what we're dealing with is something that we've never experienced before in our lives. None of us have, I mean, I know me. I mean, unless you came from a parallel universe, I definitely can say, we haven't had this. We haven't been forced to participate in such a demonic program. And that is exactly what this is, because it's forcing separation. It's forcing people to be irate, okay? As I said before, you know, it's forcing a divide instead of a unification, you know? Even with the verbiage of Sleepy Joe talking about it's a pandemic of the unjabbed, and I'm like, no, it's not. It's so not. And unless you are familiar with VAERS and the CDC and other networks that you can get stuff, and of course Veritas is great, and you've got other internet shows that are just phenomenal that get, you know, these interviews with these people that work directly for these companies, as well as you'll get data, you know, you'll get hardcore black and white data with numbers and showing you what's what, efficacy, no efficacy, you know, what's happening with what. Like I said, and I mentioned this also on Saturday, how is it that you're still forcing people to get a jab that would only be effective for the alpha variant, which is long gone, because now we're at the tail end of the delta variant? You don't even have enough time to try to put out a new jab for the delta variant, because by the time you do that, we'll be all the way to lambda. We might be all the way to like epsilon. They're using the Greek alphabet. So you're going to always play catch up. And I'm like, and what you trying to play catch up with? Why is it so important for you to mark me with this thing? Oh, because that is your agenda to mark me. That is your agenda to mark us. That's in Revelation. That is in your soul. It is there. And all of us who just love themselves some Satan, y'all can have him. Because your day of reckoning will be swift. And I am quite serious when I say this. Whether it is an individual or a culmination of demonic entities that come together and wish to do whatever they're doing and they're making it happen, your reckoning will be swift, because your energy is not in line with the age of Aquarius, the fifth dimension, or anything that is love, positive, and having to do with the Creator's Creator. It's not. It's about destruction. And I mentioned on Saturday when Satan said, to God, supposedly, like, I'm going to make them turn against you. I'm going to take them. I'm going to take them all. And when my day comes to go down, I'm taking them all with me. And I see y'all are willing to go. Some of y'all are willing to go. The other part that bothers me, and some of you might be able to chime in on this, I know we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, but what bothers me is that they have used so many African-American celebrities to get the African-American and Afro-Caribbean community to just jump in on this. And they're still seeing that you might have something like, they said something like 70% African-Americans have not received their tenderonis. No, because we have brains. We have brains and we want to live and we honor our soul. And that's about as fierce as I I can get it. Because this is beyond disturbing to me, that we would actually participate in something so heinous, so dangerous, so unknown. And for what? For something that has a survival rate that's so high, it doesn't make any sense to get anything. Aside for some vitamin C and some zinc and what you call it, some other antioxidants in your body. Hello? I drink a lot of Bolthouse Farms juices. I like them because they blend them nicely. And there's no preservatives and no additives or anything like that. So I like my berry blends and my green goodness and all these things. I love them. I'm like, do that. Do you know you can just drink those for like a whole week and fast? You can drink those and water for a whole week and cleanse yourself. Again, I'm going to repeat myself, but I said on Saturday, in the words of the illustrious, beautiful Alfred Bowman, a.k.a. Dr. Sabi Ibaye, he said, the way the universal creatures create made us, okay? Anything that can go wrong in the body, the cure is in the soil. The cure is in the earth. It's a leaf, it's tree bark, it's a blade of grass, okay? It's a root, it's something, flower petal, it's something, but whatever it is, it's in the earth that will cure us. It could be some tree bark, whatever it is, it's coming out of the earth, okay? Just like that soil is rich and brown, so are we. We're symbiotic with it. Chlorophyll is melanin's first cousin. So get them greens in your body. Meditate in happy spaces. Go outside and get some sunshine on your face, like Mudbone would say. The recipe is not convoluted or that extravagant. It is so simple. Because guess what? We're still here. We're still here. I had a cold a couple of weeks ago. I'm groovy. Honey, Alicia and I caught colds from being outside too long. We weren't dressed properly. So he had a cold, gave it to me, blah, blah, blah. But we're good to go. And the world is an interesting place. Wherever we are, we like to smile, polite to people, keeping a high vibration. There's times when it's just two of us and one. This is dangerous again, and I've heard so many physicians in this past week and a half just say very blatantly, if you haven't gotten anything, don't get anything, just wait. If you got the first one, don't get the second one. If you got the second one, don't get a booster. They are so clear, and it is not a joke. They're serious. They're like, don't play with yourself. Now, there's a new one coming out by a new company. It's supposed to be a higher efficacy rate and not have so much garbage in it. Ha, ha, ha. But they've never created a jab or a vaccine that doesn't have garbage in it. They all do, from formaldehyde to aluminum to all kind of stuff that ain't got no business being in something. It's in there. Okay? So it's going to be called, I think, the Novavax. I don't know how many you're supposed to get. I don't know any of these things, but I just know that there's a new kid on the block. I ain't getting that one either. Hi. Because nobody still has had enough time to test the dang thing. So y'all can keep moving with all that. We're not going to do that one. Just sharing. Just going to say. So I see that the doc has joined us. I'm going to open up his line. 973-640. I hope that's you, Doc. Alamo, are you in there?
Peace to the family. I'm here. How's everybody
peace.
Doing tonight? Peace. Say that again. I got a bad connection, so I'm going in and out. I don't know if everything I'm saying is being heard.
Oh.
But I'm good.
Good. Very good. I was just talking about you.
Okay.
I was thanking you and the you with your illustrious position, Mr. International President, and the Ethiopian World Federation locals for having me this past Saturday. That was awesome.
Oh man, the pleasure was all ours. We are glad to have you. We've got nothing but great reviews and great remarks and responses.
Wow.
So it's just really all good.
That's beautiful.
So thank you.
Oh, you're most welcome. Anytime. You know what's kind of heavy about it for me? I'm reflecting. It's Monday. Earlier that week, last week, I was watching Sister Vicki Dillard on Fly Nubian Queen TV, and she was doing a webinar that was going to be coming up. And she was very excited about it, and I was happy for her, gave her many likes and shares and what have you. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking to myself in my own meditation at night that I would love to present to a broader audience. Now, one thing about me and my little metaphysical self, I don't like to harp on things because I feel like when you harp on it and you put too much pressure on it, you take away the opportunity for the manifestation because you're sitting on it. Like, you're all over it. It's too much.
Mm-hmm.
You have to let it go and give it not just air to breathe, but you've got to give it, like, space to culminate, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So I just had that thought into myself, and I was like, I'll be doing that one day. I'm going to be doing that. And I just let it go. So when I spoke to you on Friday night, and because I went into this also a little bit earlier in the show, I talked about how I spoke to you that Friday night, and I was like, okay, and I'm thinking we're going to be on Blog Talk like we are right now, and you're like, no, Pumpkin, we're going to be on Zoom. And I was like, oh! And then, and then you were like, yeah, so-and-so did a really great PowerPoint presentation, and I was like, goodness gracious, I don't have that right now. And I was like, okay. And I said, so my ancestors were talking to me, and my mother got in my head and was like, baby, you better do that PowerPoint presentation and do it like you know how you're supposed to do it. So, like I said, I was up till 1:30 doing the PowerPoint presentation. Again, I still had no idea who I'm addressing. I knew before that, I had been on the Ethiopian World Federation Local 26 program with Sister Sadie Gomez and you and the rest of the local. But I didn't realize that I was going to be speaking to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so after everything is over and I speak to you again that night and you're like, yeah, we had like 44 people and we had all these different countries and da 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 da, and I could see it in some of the screen with people from Martinique and London and different, and I was like, oh, I was like, it happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I manifested it and it happened slightly unbeknownst to me. It happened. And so I thank you for that. I thank myself as well. I thank my, in terms of the vision and making the connection, because I really thought about it. Like last Tuesday, Wednesday, little piece on Thursday, because as her event was coming up, Vicki, as her event was coming up, she was getting more and more excited about it. And I'm getting hyped with her, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, yeah.
Right.
It's beautiful to the family. That's beautiful. And so I was like, I want to do that. I want to talk to the world. I was like, I'm going to make it happen. It'll happen. It's all good. It'll happen. And then poof. And so I'm saying this not just to be all extra and excited. No, I'm saying this so that the family who's listening can truly understand, and overstand the power of manifestation, the power of a thought when it's sincere. And it's real inside of you. You don't have to press it and sit on it and harp on it. Give it the space to come to life. It'll come to life faster than you could ever understand.
Right. It will.
You know,
and you just spoke it into existence.
Yes. And I've done that with lots of other things in my life. Praise be, praise be, praise be to the creature's creator. I am serious. I've had things manifest in 10 minutes. I've talked about this with y'all before. I don't play. This is real. Even when, you know, two instances, just two. One, I remember I told y'all this before, but I'm repeating myself because I know I have new people on the program and y'all might be like, what the heck is she talking about? So I'm going to give you two examples of my personal life of manifestation, big, in a moment, in a situation, like for real, for real. This is about, the year is 2010. I am sitting by my pool where I used to live. School has just let out. I'm saying to myself, okay, I need a gig. I need a gig. I'm not necessarily like a teaching gig or whatever. I was like, I want to go on tour. I love being on tour. You know, summertime is here. I'm like, okay, who wants to go out? Because I'm ready to go. All right? I lean back. I have a conversation with the sun because I'm out. I'm laid out. I'm laid out, greased up right by the pool, getting as much solar ray and ultraviolet and everything I can get, cosmic energy, the whole nine. So I'm talking to the sun. You know, in my mind, I'm talking to the sun. And I'm like, I could really use a gig. I'm like, I know you got my back. I'm like talking to God. I'm like, I know you got my back. I was like, something beautiful is going to happen for me. I'm just going to relax. No more than 10 minutes later. 10. I'm not joking. 10 minutes, y'all. Okay? I said 10 minutes. In high school, she was like, I know you could do this, you sing in different languages, blah 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 blah. I'm like, yes, I can sing in almost every language, really, seriously. So I was like, let's, you know, I don't know French, but I can sing it. So I'm like, all right, Jack. So she then calls the manager of the group to tell them that she can't do it, but she's referring me and that he can call me. So then he calls me 2 minutes after, of which time I direct him to my YouTube page and he's able to look at my videos and see me singing and what have you. I sent him my resume and that was it. He called me back in 5 more minutes like, okay, welcome on board. Rehearsal's Thursday. This was like a Saturday afternoon. He's like, rehearsal's Thursday in Manhattan. I'm like, I'll be there. And that was when I got the gig with Les Nubians. Big shout out to my beautiful sisters, Hélène and Celia Fassar, the beautiful sisters, Les Nubian. And I gig with them to this day. I needed it. I was like, I need a gig. I need the money. Money was good. It was great. We had the best time.
Wow.
Not just that. But we found out that we're like kindred spirits. We look alike. Mm-hmm. Everybody thought I was a third sister. You know, I was not born in Chad. Okay, they're born in Chad. All right, then they were raised in Paris. I wasn't raised in Paris either. All right, I was born in Flushing, Queens. I was raised in New York City. Okay, the only thing I knew about them was their single song, Makeda. That was all I knew about those girls. And then poof. I'm in the mix with them. I walk in the door, and I see my friends, fellow musicians. I see my brother Sean Kelly on percussion. I see my boy Abe Fogel on drums. I see my boy Masa Shimizu on guitar. I'm like, I'm home. You want to talk about no pressure, no stress? And I only had 5 days to learn about 15 songs in French.
Mm.
Not a problem. I could do it. Not a problem. I don't ever panic over that, ever. And we hit the road in that week after, and we did a whole coast-to-coast tour. We went all over. We drove we flew to L.A., and then we drove up and down California coast, and then we made our way all the way back across country. We went everywhere, baby. It was Boise, Idaho. I was like, oh, they shook over here. They don't even know French here. But okay. And we went everywhere. And it was a dream. And then we also went to Australia, and we went to South Africa, and we went to different. We were in Indonesia. We have I'm dealing with a client who feels as if they have an incurable disease. I'm trying to convince and to let them know there's no such thing as an incurable disease.
Right.
It is all about what you think.
Because
there's no such thing as incurable. I don't believe in that. If you caught it, then that doesn't get rid of it. That's how I feel about anything.
Right.
You know? And I know you've come across this in your work.
Absolutely. I tell everybody that not only there's no such thing as a non-incurable disease, the body is able to fix everything that goes wrong with it by itself.
Mm-hmm.
You have the ability to naturally heal diseasements.
Right.
And I know they call them disease, but really it's a dis-ease.
Yes, it is.
And so the body has the ability to put itself back in ease, but we have a tendency to go to outside resources, which create other encumbrances, and it doesn't treat anything. It doesn't put the body back in order. It just relieves the symptoms of the original, you know, infraction.
The ailment, the condition.
Ailment, right?
Yes.
But it hasn't healed anything. It hasn't cured anything. It has only hid it from your consciousness, kind of.
Right. Which
that's
then
you
makes
keep coming
work.
Back because, right, because you, I tell people that the medical industry have no interest in healing anybody.
Come on.
There is no money in healing. The money is in treating.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's where the money is. So no, they want to treat it. But let's try this. Let's run this test. Let's do that. And let's see what happens. Let's have exploratory surgery. We just going to look and see if we can find something
right.
to fix.
Right. We're just going
to
cut you open and go looking.
Right.
Like, what in the world? I mean, and you're right. And even the terminology of certain things, okay, exploratory surgery. Experimental medication.
Right.
Like, I'm like, okay, hello.
No, I got one even better. Practicing medicine.
Right.
I'm like,
right.
On who?
Practice.
On who?
Right.
On
right.
me?
It's
you
a
want to practice on me?
Right. Right. Right.
But
whereas
they
if you're
that.
A lawyer, you got a firm. If you're a lawyer, it's a law firm.
Right.
But if you're a doctor, it's a practice. It's a medical practice, and you're practicing.
You're practicing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Come on.
It's just one great big experiment. Like I tell people now what's going on with COVID and the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying that there were no reports for the human trial. And I'm like, stupid. You are the human trial.
Okay. Hello, good morning. Mm-hmm.
They doing the human trial now. You it.
And not for
Hello?
Nothing, the people that they did have in the human trial got so jacked up, they were like, okay, we can't say anything.
Right.
You did have people that did apply, you know, when this first came
right.
out, that they were, I think they had like about 50 to 100 people. And these were the people
right.
who, like I said before, these were the healthiest people on the planet. Didn't smoke, didn't drink. No health conditions, didn't take medication, nothing.
Right.
They weren't overweight.
And they all dead. From what
they
I
were
understand,
healthy
the report said they all dead. They all
right.
dead. So they all died. All
yes.
of them died. They said all the animals died.
Yep.
So everybody died.
Then they were like, okay, let's be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
It's,
so we're not
going to,
we're not going to, okay, we're just going to have it, you know, for emergency release.
Right, it's true for emergency use, right. I'm like, stop.
For emergency
stop.
Use.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and here we go. What's the emergency?
Right.
Where's the fire, honey? And you just propagandized the mess out of this. One of the people I got serious issues with, and I mean, I love the brother as a comedian, but God knows I am so tired of him on Instagram, D.L. Hughley, is just, he done drank the Kool-Aid and is trying to pass out glasses. I'm just like, if you don't back up, quiet. If you don't stop and just be the comedian that you're supposed to be, please, how much money are they giving you to push this? That bothers me because I don't
right.
see it. with white entertainers. I don't see it with white entertainers. Clint Black ain't come on and tell me to get shot with nothing. Okay?
Right.
I ain't heard Miley Cyrus. I haven't heard, what's it called? What's the Gwen Stefani. I haven't seen anybody that white in the entertainment industry pushing it. I haven't seen that.
Mm-hmm.
Not as much as I've seen African-American entertainers. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but every time I turn around, there's a commercial and some black person is shucking and jiving to try to get people to do this. John Legend had a whole daggone song about it. Okay. Then they used, what's his name? I forgot the rapper's name, but the one who did, you know, you a big fine woman once you back that thing up. Now they changed the song to vax that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have other celebrities, Chris Rock, other individuals that are coming out, you know, talking about, get your shot, make sure you get your, if y'all don't stop. There's got to be something in it for you to be pushing something that's this dangerous.
I here's what you got to think about. When a company, right,
mm-hmm.
gives away something for free.
Come on.
You are the product. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're the product. If they're giving it to you for free, they're giving it to you for free for a reason. Because you're the product.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Come on.
They make you think the thing is the product, but no, the thing that's free is not the product. You are the product. So we need to just take some of these concepts and these ideas. And I never tell anybody what to do. And at the Federation, the official position of the Federation is that we pro-choice.
Mm-hmm,
okay?
Mm-hmm.
You decide, we will go, we will support you in your decision. However, as for me, I'm not taking anything.
Right.
I'm content on waiting to see what happens. It doesn't make any sense. I've never had it. Most people that had it don't die from it. I've never had it. So why would I now go get a vaccine to keep me from getting something that I never had in the first place that is killing people?
Come on.
And if I never had it, why would I take it as a means of protection when those people who have taken this is still looking to be protected?
Yeah, because that's still, not just how they're looking to be protected, but what's scary about it is that, and I say this over and over again for people to really try to understand, the thing is loaded with so much garbage that you're going to contract something because it's in you.
Right.
The jab
right.
I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's got so
right.
much garbage in it that it has the potential to really to make you very sick. Either take your behind out immediately or go slow and make you sick.
Right.
Either way, you're damaging yourself out of fear of contracting, something that you may never even contract. You may
right.
never, ever contract it. I know people who've never had the flu. It's possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
you know, and before I bring in the Reverend,
right, I've never had the flu.
Say your little, your cute soliloquy on the protected and the unprotected and the...
Say that again.
I said before I bring in the Reverend, can you say that little saying you say about the protected and the unprotected and, you know, that whole thing?
So why do the protected, okay, because you got the vaccine, why do the protected need to be protected from the unprotected by forcing the unprotected to take the same protection that didn't protect the protected in the first place?
Ding! I love when you go there. That's just always so wonderful. and you always say it so perfectly. I might get a little tongue-tied if I try, but you always do a good job. Because it's the truth.
It's the
and
truth.
It may sound like a conundrum because this whole thing is a freaking conundrum.
Right.
Man, right. But. So I'm going to open up.
Yeah.
No, serious though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Man, my mother was alive. She'd be like, what in the hell's going on? I'm going to open up the Mighty Reverend's line now. Reverend, darling, Reverend Ron Robinson.
How are you, darling? I do say we'd have a spot of tea here.
Yes. How are you, sir?
I is here, as we say in South Carolina, if I said that correctly, y'all. Don't write me and tell me. You should have said it this way. Nevertheless, listen, so thank you. I is the first international first vice president of the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated,
Indeed.
Comer Incorporated,
Indeed.
and my president, Dr. James W. Wimborn. I'm telling everybody, this man is doing an amazing job at the Federation.
Ooh.
We yeah. can all come together under the Federation, and we can stop this nonsense of people having mandatory vaccinations. As a member of the Federation, you can be protected from that and keep
right.
your job and sustain yourself. But we have to come together and join. And Sister Amina, Queen Amina, Black Alice in Wonderland, we're going to find you some land as well.
All right,
and,
man, I'll take it.
You know. And we want you to come on down and, you know, join too and come into the Federation and join with us. We need powerful sisters like yourself to come in. We need more powerful brothers and sisters
mm-hmm.
to come in. We need to establish
mm-hmm.
a strong Black foundation, strong Black families, strong Black parents, strong Black children. The world is off the hook. Things are going crazy. But you know something, y'all? The Bible says, come ye from among them and be ye different. It's
yes,
all right
yes.
to be different. It's all right. I tell my children, I have 6 kids from ages on up to, you
okay.
know, and I
okay.
tell them, I know the gamut, y'all, but I'm telling them, listen, sometimes you can't, I told my young son, you can't be a gangster. That ain't in you. You ain't got that
mm-hmm.
kind of blood set, brother. You know what I'm saying? You got to
right.
be who you are. You got to be comfortable with who you are, and you got to stand strong. Shout out to my baby girl who not that I said nothing, but she decided not to take the vaccination, and she worked in the hospital, and they fired her. But it's all good, you know. Something better is coming.
Yep.
But I'm just hey, saying to people, you got to organize. Yes, yes. You know, we got to organize. We got to organize, and the Federation. The Ethiopian World Federation, Common Incorporated, I suggest that people go on the internet, take a look at it. It is a way that we can organize against this madness because, like you say, Queen, it ain't
mm-hmm.
stopping. It's getting worse. Every day you hear about somebody's rights being violated right in the front of our faces on the national news, and
yes.
we say nothing.
Yep.
So it's getting worse and
mm-hmm.
worse and worse, and it's getting crazy. I don't want nothing to do with it, but I damn sure know that we need to stand up together and fight against this madness. Thank you so much for this time. I appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Oh, anytime. Of course, Rev. You know how we do. I was looking for you. I was like, when is he coming? Is he coming on tonight? Because I know you're also extremely busy. But you're spot on. And the other thing that has to happen, which I did talk about earlier this evening, and I also spoke about it on the show on Saturday, that we have to love each other. We have to get back to being one, if you will. And it doesn't mean we have to agree on everything. It doesn't mean that we got to go and eat the same food and go to the same church or whatever. It's not what it means. It just means that we have to have agape for each other. We have to have unconditional love for each other and take care of each other. There was a case a couple of weeks ago, maybe last week, unfortunately, a woman was raped on the subway in New York, and people saw and didn't do anything. That right there punches me in my gut. That right there really ticked me off. I'm like, not only did they not do anything, but they videotaped it. What? what the hell is going on? And I mean hell. Because you, something's got to be wrong with you. What type of cognitive dissonance do you have to see someone being violated and not help them? I don't come from that. My husband told me about it. Very disturbed. We both spoke for quite a while about how, God forbid, we were there. We might be in jail because somebody might be dead. There's no way I can watch someone get accosted in any kind of way and not jump in to help. That's just not in my genes. I don't have it. My DNA don't act like that. Every situation I've ever seen in my life, whether you white, black, Asian, Latin, whoever you might be, you could have been plaid. If you were in trouble, I'm coming to help you. Period. If it's three against one, I may have to find out what you did, but I'm just saying, if it's three against one and it looks ridiculous, oh, I'm going to make it two against three. I'm grabbing what's close and it's on and popping. I am very disturbed that a woman was raped, sexually violated to the nth degree in public, and nobody did anything. That is not the New York back in the day. That is not. See, this is what happens when you got all these new people coming in, okay? These other individuals who weren't there 15, 20 years ago, hello? They weren't there. We wouldn't let that happen. Doc, you remember the Guardian Angels?
You mean Curtis Lee, or you running for mayor?
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? Like, they were the bomb. I felt,
right.
My girlfriends and I always felt secure and fine on the train when they came through, okay? Because we were on the train all hours of the night. You know what I'm saying? All hours of the night in the morning we were on the train. And when we saw them come through, we knew we were all right. We were like, oh, they're here. Okay, cool. We knew we were all right. Any fool
right.
would get correct in 5 seconds as soon as them red berets came through the door. They'd be like, oh, snap, because they knew martial arts, and they would whoop your behind if you did something wrong, period. So as I realized, again, I'm not on the phone tonight. I'm online, so we're going to be cut off in 53 seconds. But first, I just want to thank my wonderful co-host for being here with me tonight, Dr. Winborn and Dr. Robinson. You all are so amazing. You men are so intelligent, so bright, so forth-seeing, just beautiful people. And it is an honor to be amongst you. Yes, I am joining the Federation. I may not be able to join my own chapter where I am yet, but I'm going to join another chapter until we can form a chapter up here. No problem. I've spoken to my husband about it already. We're like, yeah, we in. And so thank you. Big shout out to the Ethiopian World Federation. We're going to talk more about the Federation next week, family. Have a beautiful and blessed week ahead. Be divine. Be yourself. Shine brightly. All right. And watch out for the strangers and protect the babies. One love. Mwah. Peace.